All right, everybody doing well today? Can we give the Lord some praise? Come on. We appreciate you joining us today at Liberty Church Blue Angel Campus. And if you're here and you're going, who is this strange person who is speaking today? I just want to introduce myself real quick. My name is Nate, and I'm the campus pastor at the North Campus across town. But I must say, like, I have, one, I love being here, and I have so much history here. For a long time, I was the youth pastor here. In fact, the old auditorium actually proposed to my wife on the platform over there. So, man, I love this church. I love this location. In case you don't know me, I just want to introduce my family a little bit. I have a picture of me and my crew. This is my wife, Rachel, and my sons, Britton, Noah, and Jojo, which is the sideways one, and Naomi. Don't read into that. It's not prophetic. It's just silly kids, right? But anyways, with that said, we appreciate you allowing us to be here. I want to take a second just to honor your pastors and your team here. Can I just tell you, if you don't know this, you have an amazing team of people who are leading this church. Guys, can you guys give them a huge round of applause? Yeah, give Pastor Josh and Kristen a huge round of applause as well. They're amazing. Do such a good job leading Liberty Church. You may not know this, but they don't just lead this campus, but they lead six campuses across our community from Foley, Alabama, to Gulf Breeze, Florida. And it's just amazing what God is doing through our church, even in this season, like even in this, all of this craziness, just like Pastor Patrick was just sharing, God is using our church in a mighty way in our community. So if you're grateful for what God's doing, can we give it up for him one more time? Let's give it up for the Lord, right? Well, with that said, I'm excited about being here today. I'm excited to share with you. Thank you for having me. I just want to pray real quick and we'll get into the message. But before I do, if you're ready for the message today, if you're ready, say I'm ready. All right, let's pray real quick and we'll jump in. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your goodness, Jesus. You are so, so good to us, God. And we are so thankful for your many blessings and your care and your provision over our church. God, I just pray you would continue to use this church in a mighty way. I thank you for this gathering. God, I thank you for your goodness in our lives. I thank you for your word that instructs us and builds us into who we're called to be in you. God, I pray you bless this time. Holy Spirit, be the loudest voice in the room. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, I don't know if anybody else here has noticed this, but we have a lot of stuff going on right now that could really make a person frustrated. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody notice some of the things going on that could just make you feel a little crazy, maybe make you feel a little irritated, maybe even make you feel a little bitter? For example, has anybody noticed the supermarket directional signs on the ground? Has that made anybody else crazy besides me? Has anybody found yourself halfway down an aisle and you look around and you're like, why is everybody staring at me? Oh no, I went down a left aisle when I should have went right, you know? Something like that. Like, there's so many things going on right now that could just drive you nuts. For example, I think there's really two kinds of people in the season we're living in right now. One is bubble people. Do we have any bubble people here right now? All right, no, because everybody that's a bubble person is at home watching online, right? And then the other group of people is the non-bubble people. Do we have any huggers in the house, right? Come on, right? Lift them up. I know it's you. Like, I'm the same way. This is torture right now, isn't it? You're like, I just want to hug somebody. It's driving you crazy. I get it. Some of us in every bunch. Here's another thing that could really be irritating right now is the mask conversation. Should we wear a mask or should we not wear a mask, right? And let me just say, for the record, I think that God wants us to wear masks right now. Can I get an amen if it, no? All right, we'll work on that. We'll keep working on that, but it's just something for you to pray about. How about this one? Is anybody getting a little crazy about the news? Like, you put on one station, it says one thing. You flip to another channel, it says the facts are something completely opposite. Right, can I just be honest? Like, I just had to turn it off. Like, I was just getting bitter and frustrated about it. Anybody else have to turn the news off? Just shut it off. I can't take it anymore. Or what about Zoom meetings? Right, Zoom meetings will make you crazy. Or what about working from home with your children? It's not even possible, right? Like, this is what my children do. My children want to, like, climb all over me while I'm working. I have four children. It would drive me crazy trying to work from home. Or what about this one? This is the one I think will drive everyone crazy and make everyone bitter. How many of you guys have been to Walmart recently? It's like Black Friday every single day. Like, no one wants to go to important places, but, like, everyone is at Walmart. What in the world is going on? Like, it's like, listen, there's plenty of toilet paper. Everyone relax. Right? We live in a, I say that to say, like, we live in crazy times right now, and everybody's a little bit on edge, and everyone has their own unique, strong opinions about how things should be done. And because of that, we live in a moment where it's just easy to get frustrated. And how many of you know that unresolved frustration will lead to anger, and unresolved anger will lead to a place of bitterness, right? It'll lead to a place of bitterness. And listen, whether that bitterness comes from a justifiable place or not, I want you to see something today, and this, I think this is super important. I need you to see today that harboring bitterness will destroy you. It'll destroy you. It will ruin you. It will ruin your relationships. It will ruin your friendships. It'll ruin your purpose. Part of the reason why is because bitterness is usually loaded up with unforgiveness and vengeance that if acted on, one, it'll never satisfy you. There'll never be enough vengeance to satisfy you. And listen, it will negatively affect you way more than it affects anyone else, right? Which will only make you more and more bitter. That's why this message is important today. Because you gotta understand, bitterness is at the root. It's at the root of much of the self-destructive behavior and thinking in our lives, right? This is why this message matters. Let me describe it like this. A lot of times, bitterness is like something like, it just hangs over us, and it hangs over us, and it weighs us down, and it keeps us from who we're meant to be, right? It hangs over us. If we don't deal with it, it'll eventually destroy us. But can I tell you, if you will give that to the Lord, if you will follow the Lord's way and understanding his way in how you deal with bitterness, can I tell you what will happen? The Lord will take that thing that's hanging over your head, and he'll put it under your feet, and it'll use it to give you a platform to rise up on and find your purpose and find your reason, right? If we will trust God and give this thing to him and do this his way, he will take what's hanging over you and he'll use it to build purpose and meaning in your life, amen? That's why it's so important that we have this discussion today on how we deal with bitterness. And that's why today I just wanna encourage you. I wanna challenge you to leave bitter for better. Right? Leave bitter for better. I want to challenge you today. Don't let bitter keep you from God's better. Because the truth is we all have these things lingering around in our minds and in our hearts that when we think about them, it just triggers us. When we think about them, it's like we strike this nerve that floods our hearts with emotions, with all of the wrong stuff. And if we respond to the situations and circumstances in life based on those emotions and all the wrong things instead of what we know about who God is, then it leads us down a path of no return, right? Listen, I just want you to know, so you know that you're not alone. Every single person here, every single one of us wrestles with this poison called bitterness. That's why today we want to deal with it. Today we want to get equipped to deal with it. And today, in order to get equipped to deal with it, we've got to see something about who God is. We've got to see that God is Jehovah Rapha, our Lord, our healer, right? I want you to see today that God is able to heal us from the stuff that makes us bitter. Now, to get into this discussion, we're going to turn to the book of Exodus. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, you're welcome to do that. If you use your phone or an iPad or something for your Bible, I want you to know it's perfectly okay. We're a technology-friendly church, but if you use your old leather Bible like me, that's okay too. Just make yourself at home, and also if you don't have access to it, we want you to know the word's gonna be on the screen behind me, but it's so important that you have access to God's word, and it's such a big part of the heart of this church is to give you access to God's word. But we're gonna look in Exodus 15, 22 to have this conversation. And I want to kind of set this up. I want to give you a little context around this passage we're going to be reading from. See, before we get to Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, some of what's going on, the children of Israel have just been rescued from Egypt. God's led them through the wilderness with this great pillar of cloud that represents his presence. They've seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, including that they've just been rescued as God split the sea to make a highway through the Red Sea. We just sung about it just a minute ago, right? God split the sea so they could walk through on dry ground and then buried their oppressors in that same sea. Then when chapter 15 starts, Miriam, Moses' sister, begins to sing this song of praise to look back and remember everything that God had done to set them free, to give them this freedom. And that's where this passage begins in chapter 15, verse 22. And I'm gonna read it if you guys wanna follow along. It says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. Verse 23 says, when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because its water was bitter. It says in brackets, that's why the place is called Marah. Marah means bitter or bitterness. Verse 24 says, so the people grumbled against Moses saying, what are we to drink? I love this because they do this over and over in scripture, right? They grumbled against Moses and they say, have you brought us out here to die? Have you brought us out here to give us, for us to die of thirst? Right, the passage goes on. It says, then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling, and instructed for them and put them to the test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. This is exactly where we get this passage, this name of God from scripture, right here in Exodus 15. He is the Lord who heals us. Amen. Now, real quick question. We just read this passage about this place called Marah. Has anybody been there before? And I'm not talking about like the place between Egypt and Israel. I'm talking about this place called bitterness. Has anybody been there before? Anybody spent any time there? Now, I want to start this message by just showing you a few things really quickly about this place called bitterness, this place called Marah. And the first thing I want you to see is that Marah is a place where we tend to forget what God has done. We tend to forget what God's done. The Bible says that when they realized that the water was bitter, they grumbled and got bitter themselves. When they realized the water was bitter, they were so focused on their circumstances that they forgot that God had just rescued them from Egypt. They forgot that God had just parted the Red Sea. They forgot all the things that they had just sung about and praised to him, right? See, when we get bitter, it causes us to forget all of our blessings, all the amazing things that God has done to get us this far. Here's the second thing I want you to know about Marah. Marah is a place of testing. It's a place of testing of your faith. Verse 25 says that this was a test. And it says in this test that they grumbled against Moses. Can I tell you what they forgot in that moment when they grumbled against Moses? They forgot that it wasn't Moses that led them to Marah, but God had brought them to this place, and he brought them there for a reason. See, a lot of times when we get in these moments, we see the circumstances around us, and we think that God brought us to this place, but the reality is God was just bringing them through this place. He had something beyond it for them, right? Right? God brought them to Marah for a purpose, a lesson. It was a test. It was a test to see if they would trust God even there. Let me describe it like this. My little 4-year-old daughter is learning to swim. And if you've ever taught a little one how to swim, it's probably the most difficult thing on earth. But in this, one thing that we're teaching her as well is how to jump off the side of the pool and, you know, trust me that I'm gonna catch her. Trust me that daddy's gonna catch her. And so my daughter's in this place right now where she'll jump off the side of the pool, but only if I'm like this far away from her. You know what I mean? Like I'll get back and I'll be like, baby, trust me, I promise I'm gonna catch you. You can jump. And she'll go, no, get closer. And I'll get so close that she doesn't even have to get her feet off of the ground to fall into my arms. You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all know that that's not really trust? But that's exactly what we do with God, isn't it? Like, we trust him as long as everything is up and to the right, as long as life is going the way we like it, as long as church is happening the way we like church to happen. Like, as long as everything's right, we're like, yes, I'll fall into your arms, God. I'll trust you. But the moment we find ourselves in this place called Marah, the moment we see the bitterness in front of us, the moment we sip that bitter water, things begin to change, don't they? Right, we trust God when the circumstances are right, but what God wants us to do is learn to trust him here. Can I tell you something? Because there's somebody here that's in this place called Mara, right here and right now. Can I tell you something? God is with you in Mara. God didn't lead you here for no reason. God is with you in this. You're not alone in this place. Not only has everybody else dealt with bitterness, but God is with you in this test. But nonetheless, we've got to see that this is a test. Mara is a place of testing. Here's the third thing I want you to see about this place. I need you to see that it's a place that we should not dwell very long. It's a place that we should not dwell very long. God is not just bringing us to this place. He's bringing us through this place. We should not dwell there. We see in scripture that after God made the water sweet, he confronts their bitterness, right? God did this amazing miracle where he told Moses to throw a tree into these waters. And when he throws this tree into the waters, it makes the bitter water sweet. By the way, that wasn't the last time he put a tree into the bitter waters of this world and brought healing, is it? Come on, right? Like, I'm just saying. But after God does this miracle, after God makes the water sweet, and once God uses this place called Mara to get their attention, it says he led them to a place called Elim. It says in verse 27, then they came to Elim where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. Sounds a little bit better than Mara, doesn't it? Can I tell you, God wants to take you somewhere. He has a plan. He's got a vision. He's got a dream for your life. But in order to get where he wants to take you, you got to trust him. You got to trust him, right? Can I tell you something that's interesting about these two places, Mara and Elim? They're almost next to each other if you look at a map. God wasn't taking them to Mara. He was taking them through Mara. It was a test. It was a chance to respond with trust. And I tell you something why this is so important? Because a lot of people get stuck there. A lot of people get stuck in Mara. A lot of people show up at Mara, they taste the bitter water, they get bitter themselves, and they build their life there. They raise a family there. They live the rest of their existence there in this place called Mara. Listen, God does not want you to stay there. If you find yourself in this place called bitterness, you should not stay very long. Let me describe it like this. About 10 years ago, you may not know this, but I was the youth pastor here. And one of the things we did is sometimes we would do like short-term missions trips. We still do, not right now, but we generally do. But this particular year, we went on one trip to this place called Nicaragua. And we went with another group called Surfers on Mission. And we got to go together. It was really this awesome trip. One of the coolest trips I've ever got to go on. And we went down there and we're just doing the Lord's work all week and just spending some time with Jesus and helping these kids and working in this orphanage. And we started this feeding program down near the beach. And it was just awesome. Like, what the Lord did in that time was so amazing. Like, this trip was one of the best trips I've ever been on until it was time to go. When it was time to go, we got to the airport the day we were leaving, and when we got to the airport, we found our plane was delayed, and delayed again, and delayed again, and delayed again. Finally, they let us onto the plane, and we sat in the tarmac for about 3 hours in the heat, in the sun. Like, it was miserable. And the whole time, I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm speculating about how bad this is gonna be, because I'm thinking to myself, we're probably gonna miss our connecting flight in Atlanta. How many of y'all know speculation is a shortcut to bitterness? You start speculating about all your circumstances and all the ways that things have gone wrong. Before you know it, you are in that place of bitterness like that, right? Well, I'm on the plane, and I'm sitting next to my friend Mark, who is the leader of the Surfers on Mission guys, and we're talking about this, and I'm sulking about how bad it's gonna be. You know, Mark, we're gonna miss our flight, we're gonna get stuck in Atlanta, the kids are out of food, they're out of money, little Johnny's gonna be panhandling for cash to buy some pizza, you know, because the pizza there is $300. And we're in that place, and I'm sitting by Mark, and Mark's like Yoda on a surfboard, so he's like, man, it's like, it's cool, it's gonna work out, just relax, just chill. And I'm like, Mark, it's not okay, it's not gonna be okay, you know, I'm worried about all this stuff. And then we finally get in the air, we finally get to Atlanta, and we get to the airport, and we check our bags, and we go through customs, and we get back in the airport, and we run to our gate, and sure enough, the moment we get to our gate, our plane is gone. Last flight of the night to Pensacola, right? And I remember sitting there, and I was bitter. I got so frustrated. And I walk up to the counter, the ticket counter, and I was like, ma'am, you gotta do something right now. I've got all these teenagers and we're stuck here in the airport. It was not my best moment. Can I just let you know? It was not my best moment. But I'm standing there in the airport. I'm like, you gotta help us with this. You gotta figure this out. You know, we can't stay here over, whatever it was. And Mark just comes up behind me and he grabs me by the shoulder and he says, hey, pastor. That was like a code word for like, you're being a jerk, you know? He said, hey, pastor, why don't you sit this one out? And he walks up to the counter and he says, ma'am, I know this looks like it's been a pretty crazy day for you too. And I just wanna say thank you for helping us and just maybe just see what we can do tonight. Maybe you can help us to get a hotel or maybe we can see how we can get out and get home tomorrow. And Mark just like brought Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? You ever met someone, like you talk to somebody and they're just like living Jesus. Like they're carrying, like his attitude was just right and he was just reflecting Christ with everything he was doing. And can I tell you, at the end of that conversation, he turns around and he says, all right, here's the deal. Here's your meal tickets for tonight and tomorrow. Here's the rest of your stuff. Here's your overnight kit. Here's your hotel reservations for tonight. We're gonna be here tonight, but here's your tickets. We're flying out first thing in the morning. Man, I tell you, there's something that happens when we live like Jesus, when we reflect God's goodness to other people. It comes back to us, right? But can I tell you, that day, I was deep, deep in Mara. I forgot who I was. I forgot who I was representing. I took the test and I failed. I forgot about all the things that God had done on this trip. I forgot about all of his goodness and his kindness and the way he had blessed us. And because of that, I missed it. I was stuck in Mara. Here's what I learned though. Here's what I learned. I learned that when I was stuck in that place, I learned that bitterness is poison. Bitterness is poison. And if you speak it, it will come right back to you. Bitterness is poison. And when you give it away, it will come back to you. Bitterness is poison. And if you sow it, you will reap what you sow. Right? So do you see why this is so important that we are equipped to deal with this bitterness that grows up within us? Right? And that's what I want to do here. That's what I want to do in closing. I just want to show you who Jehovah Rapha is, God, our healer, and how he heals us from bitterness. I want to show you four ways, just in closing, real quick, and then I'll let you go. Four ways that God helps us to move from bitter to the better place he has for us. I just want to show you these four truths that if you'll take hold of it, you'll get this bitterness from over your head and get it under your feet and be in a place where you can begin to move forward towards God's best for your life. Here's the first way for us to move on from bitterness. It's this: when we find yourself in that place called Mara, you gotta recognize where you are. You just gotta recognize it. Like, we gotta dig deep and look in the mirror and say, God, just show me. God, reveal to me exactly where I am right now. Because I feel like I'm being bitter. I feel like I'm frustrated. I feel like I'm angry. God, will you show me? Can I tell you, if you look around at everyone else and you're like, everyone else is the problem. No, 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 no. If everyone else is the problem, you gotta look right here. Because the truth is the problem is you. The problem is right here. Listen, when our hearts are filled with bitterness, we become blind to our own state of being. So just ask God to show you. God, help me to recognize if there's any bitterness within me. God, help me to see it so I can be free from it. Right, the first step in moving from bitter to better is you gotta recognize where you're dwelling. Are you dwelling in Mara? Now here's the second way, the second step we gotta take, I don't know what you call it, the second move we've gotta make to move forward from bitter to better, from Mara to Elam, and it's this: we've gotta remember where God brought us from. See, you know where we find the confidence and the courage to move into what's next, to trust God in the season of bitterness? You know where we find the courage and the confidence to do that? by remembering what he's already done. Does anybody remember where God found you? Does anybody remember where God's brought you from? Can I tell you, I remember, it wasn't that long ago, I was a college student, I was a mess, I was a disaster. And I had an encounter with Jesus that changed everything. I will never forget the day I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It changed everything. It was a miracle. That was the greatest miracle that I've ever experienced in my life. If you've never experienced a miracle, give your heart to Jesus today. That is step one. But as we look back and we remember, how many of you guys remember like the time when God rescued you from your Egypt? Anybody remember the time when God split the sea and gave you a lane to go forward on? Right? Like we serve a God who's in the miracle working business. He is God, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, and I want you to know him that way. But so often the best way for us to know him moving forward is to remember where he's brought us from. Can I tell you just a practical way to apply this? I have a journal, a prayer journal at home, and I literally have a running list of all the cool things that God has done in my life. Like just all the ways that he's blessed and healed and cared for and loved my family. I could spend all day sharing that with you. Sharing with you all the things that God has done and all the ways that it builds me up and allows me to move forward. But you can know those things too. You gotta learn to recognize exactly where you're at. Remember where he's brought you from. And here's the next thing. We've gotta refocus on where he's taking us to. This is the challenge. When we get in that place of bitterness, what do? We focus on our bitterness. We focus on how this bitter water tastes. We focus on the situation. And we get so narrowly focused on everything that's going wrong and everything that's hurting us and why this is causing pain in my life. We get so focused on the problem, on the bitter well, that we take our focus off of God who wants to heal us. We get so focused on the stuff. And I'm just challenging you today, if you want to know God as Jehovah Rapha, your healer, then the one who will heal you from the bitterness that's weighing you down. We've got to get our eyes off of the troubles. We've got to get our eyes off of the bitter water. We got to get our focus back on him. Look what he says in Exodus 15, 26. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the things that I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I think it specifically says you. I don't know, you can read it for yourself, but I think it specifically says you. But in front of each of those sentences is a big if. So you got a choice to make. Are you gonna focus on the bitter well? Or are you gonna focus on his presence that's leading you through this wilderness? That's the choice we all have to make. Can I tell you, once we recognize that we're in a place of bitterness, right? Once we remember where he's brought us from so that we can remember what he's bringing us to, once we get our eyes off of that and back on him, then here's the last thing. We can start fresh. We can restart. His mercy is new today. His mercy is new every morning. No matter what you came from today, no matter where you came from today, no matter who you are or what you brought in here today, you can leave it here and be brand new. You can leave it here and restart. You can leave it here. Follow God out of Mira and on to Elim. You can leave it here at the place of bitterness and follow God to the place of his goodness. Amen? But it's a choice. It's a choice that every one of us have to make. We choose this day to leave Mira for Elim. Will we choose this day to go through the valley and head for the mountaintop? Will we choose this day to leave bitter for better? Can I pray for you real quick? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your goodness in our lives. Jesus, you're amazing, God. You're amazing, God. You're amazing because you never leave us where you find us. God, you're always on this mission to move us along, God. I just pray that we see it. I pray that we look at our circumstances and we say, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. God has something better. And we choose to step out after that. God, I pray today if there's anyone here that is drowning in bitterness, I pray that they see it. Jesus, by your, I just pray you would reveal it to them. Just help them to see it plainly. Like, I'm just struggling. I'm in pain because of this. God, your word says you don't reject them for that. You don't reject us for the things we struggle with. God, your mission is not to reject us. Your mission is to save us, to heal us, to move us from. God, I pray we would recognize our state of being. I pray we would remember what you brought us from. And I pray we would refocus on you and where you're taking us to. And I just pray for every person here that today could be a fresh start. Today could be a new beginning. Today could be new life. Maybe today is the day of making that first time decision to follow Jesus. Maybe today is the moment of saying, I'm leaving bitterness and following God all over again. God, I just pray that whatever decisions we need to make would be made today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody in the house said, amen. Can we give the Lord some praise? Come on.